Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
On this cold and nasty easterly wind type of day here in our great land. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, do it. It's easy. Go to Bill at Bill underscore Michaels, at Bill underscore Michaels, or at Radio Joe Sports. You can find us there. You can find us on the radio.com app. Highly recommend you downloading that because all the interviews, everything that we have to say, well, then again, maybe you don't want to download it if you have to listen to everything we have to say. But if you want to listen to the program and take us everywhere, that is a good way to do it. You can also go to BillMichaelsSports.com, the website, find all the podcasts and everything and all the links and such right there as well. Today, there is a lot going on. We're going to kind of wrap up things regarding the Green Bay Packers Bucks. We now know it is the Detroit Pistons. The Detroit Pistons that are going to be taking on your Milwaukee Bucks coming up this weekend down at the Fiserv Forum. Also, we're going to talk with Bill Huber, by the way, PackersReport.com. He's going to be joining us. Looking forward to hearing from him, which, by the way, he is the Bill. And we'll get into that coming up here at the bottom of the hour. In addition to that, we got some Masters updates as they are teeing off at Augusta. Lance Zierlein, NFL Network draft analyst, is going to be here. Jay Kokorowski from Bucky's Fifth Quarter will be here. So we have a lot going on. And then They lose yet again. They got swept by the crappy Angels in Anaheim. The Brewers did in the last three ball games. And as excited as people are about the Milwaukee Bucks, and as much talk as there is about the Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy and the Tyler Dunn stuff and all the accusations and innuendos and stuff being thrown around, I shouldn't say we, but there is an overlook right now for what's going on the West Coast. Not to mention people aren't necessarily seeing it as much, as many eyes, because it is a later start time. Nevertheless, there is areas of concern because the pitching has not been, you know, what you would hoped it would be. And the Brewers got off to that fast start. There's no doubt about it. You can't deny that. But right now, they are a bit reeling. The offense has been pretty good, and I don't think you can expect them to keep up that kind of pace all season long. And then when their bats don't carry them, the pitching's not able to hold it. So it's a really brief window. Okay, I'm not jumping off of bridges or anything. It's a really brief window, and as I talked about yesterday, it's something that I probably 25, 35 games in, but it is right now an area of, we'll say, mounting concern. Mounting concern. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Chime in if you choose to do so. Now, Aaron Rodgers spoke yesterday, and Mike Clemens did a fantastic job yesterday and this morning when I heard him on the local show out of Milwaukee. Aaron Rodgers was asked about his offseason and what he did, where he went, all that kind of different stuff.
It was a great offseason. A lot of fun, a lot of travel. It was a little too long, though.
Aaron, I hate to ask you to teach an old dog new tricks, but what's this process been like here in the first couple of weeks?
What, you mean a couple days?
Well, a couple days.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of learning. find myself studying more on the iPad in the off season than I have in years past. You know, in years past, there's be some changes, whether it's schematically or slight changes in formation or wording. And this year, it's obviously a new system, new set of formations and concepts and code words and stuff. But we kept a few things from the old offense that we did well, and changes. It can be really good if you embrace it, and it's all new. I mean, from the color of the, you guys will see the hallway back there is a lot brighter. The murals are around, and team room's a little different. So I think it's a lot of good stuff.
A lot of good stuff happening right now for the Packers in his mind. Did a little travel, studying on the iPad. He has, you would assume the playbook, if you will. It comes on pads now, so it is what it is. But he was then asked how anxious he is to get back on the field, and kind of, exactly what it is you and I have been talking about, proving the doubters wrong.
Well, I think we all do. I mean, we had a standard year of going to the playoffs every single year, and did that 8 years in a row when we were competitive in the mix. And then the last couple of years, obviously, been frustrating to finish. So, I think we're in a good spot. I think, like I said a couple of days ago, I think, there isn't a grace period. This isn't like other transitions where you, kind of maybe give a pass for the first year or two as you get acclimated to the system. I mean, we have, a veteran quarterback, veteran offensive lineman. We signed, some big free agents for us, especially three on defense. And there's an expectation living and playing here that you're going to compete for championships, and I think we all expect to do that.
What are your first impressions of Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, it's been great conversations. I mean, he's been, in front of the room, getting himself comfortable to being the guy, and it's fun to watch him and support him and just kind of hear his mind. As we talk through the quarterback room expectations and the offense initial installs, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, he's been in the league for a while, but we got a great great room, with Nathaniel. Obviously, the bloodlines, been around the game since he was a kid, and Luke Getsy, who's been in our system for a number of years, and it's a really fun quarterback room right now.
Is there any difference with it being a bunch of guys that are a bit closer to your age?
Yeah, I mean, that's a little different. I've had some great guys in the room over the years but that I became really close to, and I expect to do the same. I mean, Luke is my, around my age, but he's got four kids, so we're at a kind of a different stage in life right now. He's got an amazing wife. Any wife, I think, that's in this business, has to be a heck of a person to put up with some of the scheduling stuff. But, I'm excited about getting to know him and his family a little bit more, and Matt's got a couple young kids as well, so it's a fun room. Deshaun and Tim keep me nice and young, though. Those boys always are talking about interesting things.
In addition to that, Rodgers was asked by Ryan Wood, how much he believes that there is, the ability to have pre-snap, we'll say, liberty, to be able to change the plays at the line of scrimmage under Matt LaFleur?
Well, I don't know yet, Ryan. We're just kind of into the first install right now, so we're still trying to feel out. We haven't really seen any plays yet. We've been talking about concepts at this point, so there's a lot of ground to cover. I think you guys get a lot of great looks at what we're trying to do. I mean, this is the first year that myself and some of the older vets will be going through not just one, but two mini camps. So there'll be a lot of time on the field. And as that, play caller, quarterback relationship develops and grows, the biggest thing is communication and being on the same page and having those daily conversations.
In addition to that, then comes the question, what has the past week been like since the Bleacher Report by Tyler Dunn came out regarding the Packers' dysfunction and the problems here in the recent years?
Well, first of all, I stand by everything I said, and I just kind of want to refer to that as far as any other comments go. I said it on the show, and I meant it. It has been a great week. I've heard from, 100-plus former teammates and coaches and current teammates and coaches, and that's fun, especially some of the guys you haven't heard from in a while, checking in and encouraging you. So that's great. I mean, this game is all about relationships, and it's about – you know, when their time comes or your time comes, find a ways to keep in touch and get together. And as we've seen on this team, you know, it's been a lot of change over the years with personnel and guys who played a big role for us. Randall Cobb is gone this year. You know, we've lost a number of great players, obviously Clay Matthews and Nick Perry and guys you've gotten close to over the years. So change is part of the business, but it's fun hearing from those guys.
In addition to that, Ryan Wood then asked Rodgers, does he share any of the blame for some of the relationships? You know, because everybody wants to point to Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley. There are other people in the article. It's not just two guys. But when Ryan Wood asks Aaron Rodgers, hey, look, you know, obviously there's something going on here, man. There's some sour relationships. Do you feel like you share any of the blame in any of this? Listen to what he has to say.
I don't know how to answer that, Ryan. During our time together, we spent a lot of time, like I said in the show, you know, talking night before games with JerMichael about, you know, plays that he liked and route adjustments and signals and stuff to be aware of. You know, Greg, the same thing. There wasn't, like I said, if there was any issues during our time playing together, I was just across the locker room. And I enjoy those kind of conversations. I really do. You know, it's about locker rooms, about building relationships, and I felt great about those when they were in Green Bay, and obviously they are what they are.
In addition to that, he doesn't say. He doesn't say whether he does or doesn't take any responsibility. Just they are what they are. That's about it. He was then asked if he has spoke with Mike McCarthy since Mike McCarthy was let go.
Yeah, I have. You know, we've talked a few times, and you know, like I said, you know, he's living here, so he's in the area, and he's got his kids here, so he's going to be around. I look forward to seeing him here pretty soon.
Have you talked to Mike since the article came out?
I'm not going to answer that.
Okay. So, yeah, he's talked to Mike since Mike was let go, absolutely, but has he talked to Mike since the article came out? Won't answer that, which I find a little strange, but it is what it is. Does he have any concerns about, because this is the big thing, I mean, the bottom line is this, it's the play on the field. Does he have any concerns about the knee right now?
No, I feel great. You know, most of the time with MCLs, you don't have to do surgery, and I think at the end of the season, we just wanted to check the structural integrity of my knee, especially on the lateral side, and felt good about the scans that we got. It wasn't quite 50-50, but I just felt like, and Doc felt like, the best thing to do would be to just go through the round of shots that we've done in the past. Came out of that time and felt really good.
So let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll listen to what else Aaron Rodgers has to say and the questions that he fielded yesterday as he was brought before the media and kind of the mass scrum for the first time. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. It's where they believe in better. Don't forget Cousin Subs teaming up with Summerfest to give you the opportunity to get a free Summerfest weekday ticket. The way you do this is you go to CousinSubs.com, and you got to eat, right? So you go to CousinSubs.com, you order online. Whether it's pickup or delivery, depending on the area you're in. And if it's $15 or more, they will give you a free Summerfest ticket for a weekday visit to go see Summerfest, to go hang out. It's that simple. It's one entry per day per email. And all you got to do is go to CousinSubs.com. Cousin Subs, it's where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. More of Aaron Rodgers coming back right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We're back. Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. Radio Joe Zinzola across the way. You want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. Follow Joe at Radio Joe Sports. Don't forget that Bucks Mania will hit this city, this state, this nation coming up this weekend. And one of the biggest... one of the biggest supporters between Quick Trip and our friends at Red Bull, they're encouraging you to get into Quick Trip, get into Quick Trip to buy a Red Bull. And here's the reason why. Because if you do, and use your Quick Rewards card, you are automatically registered for an on-court experience. Now, this thing ends tomorrow, so get in there today if you can. But they're going to pull an entry. By the way, no purchase necessary. If you want to find out all the information, go to quicktrip.com/sweepstakes for more info. And by the way, today only, the Angus cheeseburger or a spicy chicken sandwich, $2.19. But what they can do is when you buy a 12-ounce Red Bull with your Quick Rewards card, you're automatically entered to win the grand prize. Two great seats, an on-court experience, food vouchers, some cool Bucks gear, and a whole lot more. They're putting it all together. That's from our friends over at Quick Trip. As Bucks Mania continues to sweep through the state, the city, the nation, Bucks Nation up and roaring. People just cannot wait for that postseason to get here. So there you go. That's from our friends over at Quick Trip. Aaron Rodgers was asked, how will the locker room be different without Cobb and company?
It'll be a lot different. You know, we've relied on him for years to be that slot guy. So I think the one thing that's definitely there is an opportunity. Who's going to be that guy to take over the slot role? Obviously, abilities of Devontae, you know, we can move him around anywhere. You know, he can play outside on the ball, off the ball, in the slot. But I think in these offenses that you're seeing running some of the stuff, you know, in L.A. and San Fran and Atlanta and Matt last year in Tennessee and now here, those guys all had, you know, slot guys who could really go. So we need to find who that guy is.
Rodgers was asked, what will they need from, you know, Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, because they're going to run the ball more. So Matt LaFleur wants to do that. So what are they going to need from those guys?
Well, I know we want to run the ball. That's important. Everything comes off of a positive run game. They ran the ball really well last year with their guys. But the action comes off of that. The boots come off of that. So we're going to have to run the ball well. And, you know, we got those two guys and, you know, some young guys behind them who can really play as well. So I'm excited about them. I like to tease Aaron Jones from time to time, you know, because he's like the most athletic, fast dude with a little bit of a belly. and he looks pretty lean this year. It's fun. It's fun being back with all the guys, but I especially like those two running backs.
Which both guys came in just buff, just ripped up, ready to go. They both added a little bit of weight. Hopefully they keep their speed. And I know Aaron Jones really wanted to be able to carry the ball more this upcoming season to be able to take the pounding. He was asked then, what has been the conversation with the new head coach about keeping him more in the pocket?
Yeah, we haven't had that conversation.
No, we're not going there. Not right now. Because let's be honest, Aaron Rodgers' athleticism is what's kind of gotten him this far. He was also asked when he reviews the game film, how critical of himself, because last year there was a lot made of Aaron Rodgers, you know, the face, the body language, and all that kind of stuff, the leadership during a game. He was asked about how he critiques himself there.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty. You know, Joe Philbin, over the years, you know, always had a great rapport and talked at length about those things, especially. And having him here last year, you know, that was something that we would check in on from time to time about how he felt that was going. And that's an important part of it. You know, you never want to show anybody up on the field and or have somebody, you know, showing you up, because it works both ways. But yeah, that's something you have to be cognizant about. And we do watch it back. Some of that stuff I don't think you're going to see on the two views, you know, the coaches tape, if you will. But it's important to keep a sharp eye on those things, because those are important parts of leadership.
In addition to that, Aaron Rodgers then goes on to talk about how he has, kind of wondered how the Patriots, how they get, you know, because we've talked about this time and again, how Patriot players, they do everything they can to get the best out of some of these guys. How do they do it?
Well, every team does it differently, and there's different, obviously, staffs and rules and ways of going about your business. But I think the thing that they obviously do well is they make it all work together. You know, Bill has always been a great defensive-minded coach with his approaches to take really your first and second most important things you do on offense away, and then be able to adjust on the fly. I think what you saw with what Sean was doing last year in LA was is trends you're going to see more around the league. And obviously we've seen it with the age of the coaches that have been hired, you know, including our guy. you're seeing, you know, some of that tempo stuff, condensed formations, a lot of stuff looking the same. And I think that's going to be the trend right now on offense. Everything, you know, the league is cyclical in the advantages, and I think, you know, the defenses have been catching up the last few years. As was evidenced by the Super Bowl, you know, it was a defensive struggle. But I think you're going to see the offense start to catch back up here this year.
You kind of hope. He was also asked his reaction to last season to the high-scoring games. You had the Rams and the Vikings, the Rams and the Chiefs. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he'd probably love to be a part of something like that if you get the offense up and running.
Well, I think as a football fan, you really enjoyed those games. You know, the L.A. against Minnesota, whose opponent we play all the time, and the way that they scheme things up in that game. You know, to get the matchups in their favor, you know, three plays really stick out. The Gurley down there in the red zone, the kind of wheel route from the backside by Kupp, and then Woods in the slot on a good matchup. You know, those are things that they do with tempo and with formations and motions that everybody else is trying to copy after that. And obviously the game in L.A. with, you know, the way that Pat played last year, he was fantastic. And that was a fun game to watch. But, you know, both those offenses do some really, really fun things. And that was kind of the talk in the locker room, like, man, it'd be fun to do some of that stuff.
It would be. It'd be good to see it as a fan, too, to be able to see them move the ball like that. Rodgers then discussed what the Falcons and Matt Ryan have to say about their former head coach, or former quarterback coach, I should say, Matt LaFleur.
What I find out from Matt... Yeah, Matt and I are friends. We've been friends for a while. We talked actually at our longest conversation was at Pebble, so it was after the hiring, and you know, just kind of getting a feel for what to expect with him, and you know, everything he told me is basically right on what Matt is. He's an energetic guy. He's really intelligent. He's a good communicator. He's creative, and you know, it's exciting right now because it's different. You know, I've been in the same system for 14 years and knew that one inside and out. Now I have a new challenge, learning this system, becoming an expert in it, and trying to find ways to make it work with the guys that we got.
And in addition to that, he was asked how much different 2019, the feel with a new head coach, a new playbook, some of the players that he's used to not being there anymore, just all the changes, how different it's going to feel.
Yeah, it is different, especially the, like I said, the length of the off season. What I meant was, you know, we used to play in the playoffs, so having that much time off was different. Good to get away, and you have to have that balance. But I know many of us were itching to get back here and get started. Anytime, you know, you've gone through a stretch like we went through, where everything was very similar. You know, similar faces. There might be some changes, similar plays. Similar environment you're working in, you know, you just kind of get used to that and accustomed to that. And when things change, it kind of jogs the system a little bit. And it's exciting, though, to see the energy and the excitement. And it's usually like this, you know, the first week. But I feel good about the potential to sustain this type of energy as we move into later this month and get into mini camp, and then obviously we have a number of high picks, so there should be a lot of excitement, I think, with our fan base. There is definitely in the locker room, and the change has been it's been a good start to the change.
So there you go, Aaron Rodgers meeting with the media, chatting a little bit. One of the guys that was there up close and personal, Bill Huber, PackerReport.com, going to be joining us. We're going to talk with him about his reaction to what's going on up at 1265. That is next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are glad to have you. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Everything that's been swirling around 1265. Like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, the Brewers have not necessarily played great baseball here on the West Coast, and there are some people who are hardcore and they're noticing. There's no doubt about that. But, you get kind of lost because you've got Bucks basketball, ready to go. In addition to that, you've got all the stuff that's been swirling around 1265. And so, you know, all the rumors, innuendos, the Bleacher Report article, everything, the reaction, all of that, plus a new head coach, new look down the hallway, everything's lighter and brighter, players are reporting. So a lot going on. Bill Huber from PackerReport.com joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And when I say the Bill, and Bill, I don't know how much you get a chance to listen to this program, but when Mike McCarthy or Aaron or anybody always says, hey, Bill, 9 times out of 10, they're talking to you.
Stay positive, Bill.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, they're mad at me.
There's nothing wrong with that, though. That means you're doing your job. But you have given us a lot of fuel for fodder on this program, so thanks so much, man.
I'm just here to help the team.
So give me your reaction to what's going on inside the walls at 1265 right now.
It's business as usual. I don't think anybody cares about any of this stuff. I don't think Matt LaFleur cares. Beppe asked him that at the scouting combine if he cared about what happened between Rodgers and McCarthy, and he said he didn't, and I actually take him at face value on that. The past is irrelevant, right? I mean, if Rodgers and McCarthy didn't get along, what difference does it make to Matt LaFleur? The only thing that matters to LaFleur is whether Matt LaFleur and Rodgers get along. So that's LaFleur's focus, is building that relationship with the quarterback, and as he put it, creating a partnership with them. So, in all this other Rodgers stuff with the Bleacher Report article, I think Devontae Adams said it best yesterday. Nobody called him. Nobody called Jordy Nelson. Nobody called Randall Cobb. As Rodgers and Adams both said, it's bitter former players. So I don't think any of this stuff matters to anybody up there. Great for us to talk about, but I don't think they care.
Do you think that this, though, puts a small, if you will, a chip on the shoulder of Aaron Rodgers? Because we know he uses anything to drive him. Do you think this, in any way, shape, or form, begins to drive him a little bit?
Yes. Rodgers was asked that yesterday, and he definitely changed the subject. Devontae Adams, though, said exactly what you said. He thinks this is going to fuel him. He said Adams said it was going to fuel himself, too. Look, this is one of the great quarterbacks of all time, who's had two poor seasons. You know, A, with the collarbone and the knee, it's certainly not helping things. But he's just a guy who's got a lot of pride. He hears everything, and his career has gone the wrong direction. I don't think there's any denying it. I think here's a guy who's always cared about his legacy, as in the legacy of a lot of quarterbacks have won one Super Bowl. Not many have won 2 and 3 and 4, and he wants to be in that conversation, and he knows as well as anyone that time is running out, and Matt LaFleur is his best chance of getting there because Matt LaFleur is the coach right now.
It's hard for me to gauge with the wide receivers from last year. I mean, we had, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown, guys on our program. You know, they said, look, it's just difficult to get on the same page with Aaron because he's got so many things. Is this year the year? Because he really, other than Devontae Adams and Geronimo Allison, you don't have a lot of veterans floating around right now. Is this the year that Aaron's probably back to the basics, so to speak, and getting on the same page with his guys if they're going to have a successful offense?
Yeah, you know, it's probably the schematic change here. You know, it's interesting you point that out, though. Adams has almost as many receptions last year as everybody else does combined. It's remarkable just how one side of this group is. But, you know, with McCarthy's offense, it was an adjustment-based offense where you go run the route, and if you saw this, you adjusted to that, and it all kind of happened on the fly. And that's a lot for a rookie to handle, which is why Rodgers has said for years there's a playbook on paper, and there's a playbook that we actually run on the field. And it wasn't Rodgers going rogue. It was the reality of the situation of, they adjust and take what's there. Those rookies had a hard time adjusting, for sure. Honestly, I couldn't tell you about LaFleur's offense in that regard. If it's a lot of that same stuff where the quarterback and receivers kind of ad-lib it on the fly or not, I honestly don't know. But I think for Jamon Moore especially, who readily admitted to us after the season that he was behind in the playbook and had not earned the quarterback's trust because of it, I think it's really big for him because here's a guy who didn't get it his rookie year. Now he's got to do a whole new playbook this year, too. So I think, especially for him, this is a really big offseason.
Yeah, I look at Jamon Moore as a guy that needs to kind of prove himself. But how comfortable are you with the wide receiving core?
Not at all. I don't think there's any reason to be. You saw enough out of Valdes-Scantling and St. Brown and, you know, even Allison when he was healthy. He was on pace for 1,100 yards through the first quarter. But none of these guys, other than obviously 17, has done it over the long haul. They don't have a slot receiver. I suppose you could stick Adams in there, and they ran some Valdes-Scantling and St. Brown, but they don't have a accomplished slot guy. I mean, are St. Brown and Valdez Scantling, are they going to take that next step and become legit players, or are they only going to be role players throughout their career? I don't know. So I'm telling you, after the last four drafts of being defense, 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 I would just draft a whole bunch of offense and reload that side of the ball if I was running the show.
How defensively speaking, and because we all can speculate as to what they're going to do in the draft, but with the return of Cole Madison, they needed depth on the offensive line. Obviously, picking up Billy Turner, that was big, and now you get Cole Madison back. Do they suddenly go from an area of concern to an area of strength, or do you think one, maybe two other offensive linemen are still going to come into the system?
Yeah, I think they got to get one pretty early here. You know, Belaga's injury history is well-known, and he's entering his last year in the contract. You got to get that squared away. You know, maybe that's Billy Turner who they signed. He's played some tackle and some guard, but you would think just by their history here that they would draft a tackle fairly early. And you know what? Maybe that tackle plays guard his first year. Maybe they think that whoever they draft, you play right guard this year, Belaga's your right tackle, and then in 2020, you move him back out to tackle. That might be the way to go here. But I can't imagine how you would say it's a strength, though, at this point. Because, again, what has Billy Turner done in his career? What has Cole Madison done? I mean, he hasn't played. Is that hunger still there? There's a lot of questions, for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of questions regarding Cole Madison. There's no doubt about it. Have you had a chance to talk to him?
No, I was hoping he'd be available yesterday, but they just had the big guys. So we got the mandatory minicamp just before the draft. I assume he'll be available then, and they'll be really interesting to hear his story. And there's been a lot of speculation, a lot of reason speculation of why he sat out last year. It'll be interesting to see where he's at.
Looking forward towards the new head coach with Matt LaFleur, some people are impressed with the way he speaks, others aren't. To me, it's only matters what goes on behind closed doors.
Right.
So what has the reaction been for the new head coach?
They seem to like him. Again, what do you expect the guys to say, right?
Right.
I will say that Rodgers talked to Matt Ryan before and after the hiring, and he said he's come across as advertised. And I, speaking to a guy down in Atlanta who I know who's with that team, said Matt Ryan respected the heck out of LaFleur. So, and Rodgers likes Ryan, so I think that gets the coach off to a good start there. Devontae Adams said a lot of good things about him yesterday, too. You're right. What you saw in that opening press conference where he was obviously nervous, that doesn't matter one bit. And if he's a little bit nervous talking to the team, I don't think it's a big deal either. I think it's probably the expectation when you're a 39-year-old guy coaching a team for the first time. That might be a little bit jitters. Like, I don't know if there was this week, but even if there was, I don't think it's a big deal either. I think it'll be a work in progress. And at this point, he's just got to show that his scheme's going to work. And if players feel good about what they put in the field here in April, May, and June, I think everything's going to be fine.
Talking with Bill Huber of the PackerReport.com. Go to PackerReport.com and read all the stuff there. Now, defensively speaking, they keep Mike Pettine, which to me, it's twofold. It's a guy that's already been a head coach. He knows what it takes to go through the grind, which I think was a good keep. In addition to that, some way, shape, or form, he figured out with baling wire, a little bit of spit, and maybe an egg to be able to figure this defense out to at least make them semi-formidable last year with all the injuries and the departures that they had. How much better do you expect this second year defensive coordinator to be with some of the new faces, some of the offseason acquisitions, and then obviously with an incoming group of defensive-minded guys?
Yeah, for sure. Blake Martinez said it yesterday that, they were going through installs, and Martinez knows all this stuff. He said he knows more, and this is obviously logically speaking, but he's so much further ahead now than he was in September or October last year when they were kind of learning it on the fly. And, and Patton said it throughout last year, too, where it was trial and error for him, too. He's got to see what those guys can handle. He's got to see what they like. Of course, there's a revolving door of personnel at safety and stuff, too, which didn't help anything. But I think Pettine knows his players, and the players know Pettine. And you're right. It was a pretty decent outfit last year, all things considered, considering they had no stability inside linebacker alongside Martinez, the whole defensive back changes. I mean, they were signing safeties off the street who were playing the next week. They should be a lot further ahead for sure.
Real quick before I let you go, so all of this that we've discussed, both offensive and defense, is important, but last year their special team sucked. So I mean, that's one thing we don't even talk about. You know, it was just bad. I mean, even with the misses that Mason Crosby had, they stick with Mason Crosby, and I would assume there might be some competition coming in camp. But, you know, how much if they get the depth they need, the natural progression is this team then suddenly gets better on the special teams. But the biggest need for them special teams wise, to me, still kick returner, punt returner, right?
Yeah, you know, this is, you know, say what you want about Ron Zook, but he had a great point that he used a couple times last year with us and previous years. If you have a returner who is really good and the other 10 guys know it, they tend to block longer. They tend to block harder, and they tend to block longer because they've got the belief that if they do their job, that guy's going to pop one. Trevor Davis showed some of that. I mean, he was really good in 2017. A, he was productive, and B, he didn't fumble. Is he the answer? Who knows? But you're right. They've got to get that squared away. You're just giving away field position left and right. And, you know, long snapper's an issue. I asked Goody at the combine, do you feel like you need to get a kicker? And he said, I thought it was really interesting. He said he wouldn't turn one down.
Yeah.
So I think really all those spots are up for grabs at this point.
Yeah, I think so too. Bill, it's always a pleasure, buddy. Thanks for all the work that you do. Thanks for making me look great, and I certainly appreciate it, okay?
All right, take care, Bill.
You the man, Bill. Talk to you soon. There you go. Bill Huber, PackerReport.com. You can read his stuff there.
I'm impressed, Bill.
Thank you very much. There you go. I'll take credit, but it's Bill Huber who they're chatting with. So,
thank you, Bill.
You're very welcome. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. You know it. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com. Now, here's the thing. When we come back, we gotta take a look to the South. Let's go to the Masters. More of the Bill Michael show after this.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Bill.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
What an incredible Cinderella story. This unknown comes out of nowhere to lead the pack. At Augusta, he's on his final hole. He's about 455 yards away. He's going to hit about a 2-iron, I think. Well, he got all of that. The crowd is standing on his feet here at Augusta. The normally reserved Augusta crowd. Going wild.
Going wild. How we looking? Right now!
For this young Cinderella,
he's come out of nowhere. Back.
He's got about 350 yards left. He's going to hit
it's no big deal. I'd use a putter. 350 out, I'm using a putter.
He's got a beautiful bench. Yeah. That's, he got all of that one.
I got to ask.
He's got to be pleased with that.
How many times?
Cinderella boy. Tears in his eyes, I guess.
Yes.
He lines up this last shot. He's got about 195 yards left. Looks like he's got about an 8. This crowd has gone deadly silent. Cinderella story out of nowhere. A former greenskeeper now about to become the Masters champion.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole!
How many guys in a tee box have taken a big swing and hit one with everything they've had right down the middle? And how many of your buddies have stood around and went, "He got all of that one!" How many? I'd rather hear that than that stupid, "It's in the hole! Get in the hole!" from 300 yards out. Which, by the way, I'm thrilled because down at Augusta, they don't allow that. You're out. It is Masters Day today as they get underway at Augusta. The Magnolias are in bloom. Justin Harding right now tied with Aaron Wise, Louis Oosthuizen, and Lee Hung Ha-Tong. And I'm butchering the hell out of that name. I know that. They are right now atop the leaderboard at 2 under par. Harding and Wise through 10. But they're just getting underway. Just now getting underway. Everybody else getting on the course a little bit later on today. Nothing major right now.
Well, Tiger Woods is off to a very good start.
Tiger's on the course.
So he's 1 under par. He has hit the first 3 fairways.
Through 3.
He birdied the par 5 second hole in which he was in the bunker for his third. He put it within 4 to 5 feet of the cup and then drained that birdie. So right now, Tiger locked in, and that's encouraging to see. So
it's encouraging. We just need to see Tiger relevant on Sunday. You know what I mean? Tiger relevant on day one, that gives everybody interest. Tiger relevant on day three, perfect. Tiger relevant on day four, enormous.
The biggest thing for me with Tiger Woods is his putter, and he has not putted the ball well. It was really good to see at the match play a couple weeks ago in Austin. He was finally feeling it again with the putter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was making some big-time putts.
Yep.
And we all know Tiger Woods, when he's on, it's the putter. So we'll see how this goes throughout the course of the day and through the weekend. But if the putter's on, he's got a really good chance to win this thing.
He got some shot. There you go. That is your Masters update. You got some good ones going off a little bit later on today, as a matter of fact. Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, and Paul Casey. That's the last group to tee off today. That would be at noon Central Time. That's a good one to watch. Phil Mickelson, Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, all just before them. Then Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, and Jason Day at 11:38, and it kind of goes backwards from there. But the Masters is now underway. All the pomp, all the circumstance, the official first hit, all has happened down at Augusta, Georgia. And we'll keep you up to date all day and tomorrow as well, as it is the unofficial start of spring/summer for me. And we're sitting here with thunder going on outside our studios that sounded like somebody hit the wall a little bit earlier with a car. Holy mackerel. But nevertheless, we have thunder, rain, snow, or whatever it is happening in the area. And the Masters are underway. Good stuff. We've got a lot more yet to go. Stay tuned. Open lines. Are you right? We're going to talk more about this Brewers team that got swept in L.A. by the Angels. Are you concerned about the sweep? And do the Pistons, who is the first-round matchup for these Milwaukee Bucks, do they scare you at all? Not me, baby. Not me. The Bucks' margin of victory doesn't... That tells all. I'll tell you what it is when we come back. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.